The Sea Change podcast is sponsored by Changing Greatly Consulting, providing effective, data-driven talent and culture solutions that attracts top, diverse talent by creating psychologically safe and inclusive high-performance cultures. Come for the talent and stay for the culture. Now, let's get into the Sea Change. Welcome to the Sea Change Show, where leaders are changing business culture for good. I'm your host, Maura Barclay. If you are a new listener, welcome to the show. We are so glad you found us, and you did not find us by accident. Take a moment now, unless you're driving. Make sure you're safe. Take a moment now to click follow, hit subscribe. You're not going to want to miss a single conversation with these transformational leaders. And if you are a frequent flyer, thank you so much for listening. We sure appreciate you coming back week after week and sharing with your friends. Today is a highlight episode for Jeff Ma. And if you didn't catch that, he's one of the directors of Softway. I interviewed the CEO of Softway, Mohammed Anwar, and this organization has really done some incredible things, taken philosophy and turned it into action with tremendous success. I'll probably be interviewing everyone on the leadership team. That's my goal. And Jeff Ma was number two on the list, and the number three and four are coming. I feel pretty confident about that. All right. So Jeffrey Ma is one of the directors at Softway. And if you listen to Mohammed's interview and Jeff's interview, the real headline here is they went from a command and control leadership model that just about tanked their company. Their company was literally going under, seven-figure debt, if I remember correctly. And through a complete stop, course correction, shift in leadership that valued forgiveness, a culture of psychological safety, and a team-first approach, turned the entire company around and was so successful in doing so, they created a leadership curriculum and event. It's actually, well, Seneca Leader, it's a program. They were asked by many companies to come and teach how they did it. It was remarkable. And Jeff was a part of the entire process. The thing that makes Jeff really interesting to me, among other things, because it just everybody who works for Softway is really an emotional intelligence ninja, and they are so willing. They have such a growth mindset. I mean, so many leaders talk about that and do all the training, and frankly, it's growth mindset until they're challenged and it gets uncomfortable, and then suddenly it's a fixed situation, and you know, it's difficult for leaders who have been trained to never be wrong. It's bad to be wrong. Being vulnerable is a death sentence in your authority. Naturally, that's not a growth mindset place to live. So it's certainly part of the conditioning. That being said, Mohammed and Jeff shared the command and control leadership style, and they also shared a rigidity at first. They were really all about logic, all about data sets, numbers. It's got to be logical, right? And this is their part of the way that they lead and part of their success, actually. So this is their particular way. And the thing that Jeff said that was really interesting to me was he talked about how when Mohammed was turning the ship around, you know, he was a little resistant because it was very team focused. It was very smart skills versus hard skills. Although I contend that emotional intelligence is a very hard skill. That's for another show. All right. So Mohammed's pivot into, he was a CEO, into a more human approach at first to Jeff did not really appeal to his logic. And then he started to see the logic in putting people first, making sure that there's a balance to the balance to the human side of things. And that actually leads to the desired business outcomes. And once he was able to see the correlation between the team first approach, the logic behind that, and how it facilitates or maybe even catalyzes the strategic objectives, well, now, you're cooking with gas. So the thing that really got him invested in the whole culture was he had the opportunity to craft a clear operational framework that integrated the human side, that allowed the strategic business outcomes to be hit. And he got to create, you know, I talk a lot about operationalizing culture, because that's the only way it's going to be built. And it's not having barbecues, folks. That's not what builds culture. All kinds of terrible things, all kinds of passive aggressive. Oh, you can have an absolutely toxic culture and have a barbecue every quarter. So that doesn't mean anything. It's, you know, it's like, great. But that's not what culture is about. So the piece that I wanted to pull out of Jeff's process and really highlight is the piece that I wanted to pull out of Jeff's interview and really highlight was his answer when I asked him the following question, which is, it seems to me that leaders are afraid of change because the cognitive dissonance is so uncomfortable. They don't want to reevaluate because of the aforementioned training, the indoctrination of, we'll call it the executive mind, which is based on competition, aggression, protecting your blind side, protecting your own vulnerability, you know, never being vulnerable, never showing any blip and lack of your authority. You always have all the answers. It's just a command and control model that, you know, I think it's a bill of goods, frankly, and companies like Softway that have managed to lead from a different point of view have been tremendously successful in doing so, while maintaining very high levels of engagement, which has produced tremendous performance, and they've hit their objectives. Like, it's math, folks. It's math. So when I asked him, what do you think needs to happen for these leaders to, I guess, be more afraid of not changing than they are of changing? And he said, you know, it comes down to a shift. Well, I'm paraphrasing here, but it really comes down to a shift of paradigm and understanding what change really is. So change is viewed as, it's always bad, it's always scary, and it yields churn. So nothing really fundamentally ever changes in these organizations. There's a lot of window dressing, there's a lot of iteration, but it's version 13.0.1.2.0.1.6, et cetera. It's not innovation. It's not fundamental change. So the fundamental insufficiencies remain. And in fact, Gartner did a great study about leadership effectiveness being the number one priority for HR in 2023 because of the amount of waste and expense that is going into, or I should say, a direct result of ineffective leadership. So another survey that really highlights this is 84% of American workers say that poorly trained people managers are creating a lot of unnecessary work and stress. So we've got these people who are burned out. We've got all these layoffs, we've got the great resignation, and all of this uncertainty, and ineffective leadership is contributing a great deal to the problems at hand. And 57% of American workers say that managers in their workplace could really benefit from training, and half of them feel that their own performance could improve. So you have, you know, this isn't a moving target. These are employees calling out the gaps. And American workers further contend that the five skills that people managers really need to improve to protect engagement, performance, and retention is communicating effectively, developing and training the team, managing time and delegating, cultivating a positive and inclusive team, and managing team performance. These are all gaps, which tells me from an OD point of view, these are all competencies that we can't take for granted are being integrated into a role. Top performers are career pathing and find themselves in a leadership position, but they have not been effectively upskilled in communicating effectively, developing and training, managing time, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So I thought this was a really potent statistic to weave in here. And this is a real big one. This is one of my favorites. So according to a SHRM report, 1 out of 4 American workers dread going to work. 1 out of 4. And it just doesn't have to be this way. This is a really absolute absurd thing. And it's estimated that U.S. companies lost $223 billion. That's billion with a B, due to culture-caused turnover. So the thing that feels very obvious to somebody like me, and of course I'm not in it because I'm a consultant, that's why you bring outside people in, is to show you unequivocally that is the lack of change that is causing stagnation and directly contributing to ineffective leadership, which is causing disengagement, which yields low performance, and churn. These are things that people think change contributes to. It's quite the opposite. There's a massive stagnation and a call for innovative, modern leadership techniques. So what I wanted to highlight here more than anything is that the fear of change is costing businesses $223 billion a year. And at some point, and actually a lot of companies, I don't have a statistic on this, but companies like Softway and many others like them that are hiring the Softway executive team to come and teach them how to do this, they are taking back their portion of the $223 billion. And it is absolutely astonishing to me that there is not more emphasis from boards to reclaim this money. Because eventually, once you've squeezed your people hard enough, there's nothing left. And the only place you will find more money in your bottom line is to reclaim money lost due to inefficiency and culture, bad culture, right? That's where the next place to look is, because the human resources are being devoured at a rate, and that is not sustainable. I wouldn't say this model's broken. I would just say it's unsustainable. So the lesson here is, it's a question. How important is your worldview compared to the ultimate success, the increased success of the company you're leading and the people who are achieving your vision? What if you could, all of you, make more money, please the stockholders, please the stakeholders, and the cost to you is redefining how you lead. It's redefining what power and authority looks like. Is there a way to shift that so it is not quite so uncomfortable? And Mohammed's story is a really great example of how to deal with discomfort. It's hard. And the moral of the story is, it is 100% worth it. I don't think we have a single case of people turning to a well-executed operational model of Team First that didn't just kick butt. I mean, I just, I've never seen it. I've never seen that story. I keep waiting for that, but it doesn't exist as far as I'm concerned because I have not seen it anywhere. So thank you so much for listening. I hope that you can take this information, take some of these metrics and run with them and use these metrics to stoke your courage to create models of leadership that serve all levels of the organization, increase the revenue, increase your revenue, and increase your retention. It all goes hand in hand. I hope these statistics give you that courage. And I hope that the stories of the men and women on this podcast help show you the way to de-risk this for you, because ultimately it's better for you. And when we have happy, healthy CEOs, we have happy, healthy employees. And what a great world to live in, huh? It is within our reach. Thanks again for listening. And I will look forward to seeing you next week. Take care, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us here at the Sea Change Show. We sure appreciate you stopping by and taking your very valuable time to visit with us. Please remember to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Who knows what's going to happen? I never do. It's always up in the air. And if you would like to be a guest, if you have something to offer, I would love to talk to you. Please email me at cultureworks@maurabarclay.com. And that's MauraBarclay.com. I would love to talk with you. And if you have someone who you think would be a good fit for this show, please reach out to me and connect me. I want to keep celebrating and amplifying as many of these voices as possible. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.